this introduction is assuming that you have some experience with role-playing games, at the very least the video game versions, and maybe have not played any of the Fate game systems, or maybe you've played some Fate Core, Fate Accelerated, and haven't played any Dresden. So we're just going to talk a little bit about the specifics, mechanic-wise, of the Fate game.
So how is this game? How is this game similar to Dungeons and Dragons, if it is?
Well, it is similar because it's a role-playing game, and all role-playing games, at least tabletop role-playing games, have basic similarities. The idea is you sit around, you talk, and you tell a story together. Some games are more cooperative than others. I always play Dungeons and Dragons, and that when you're in a party, you're working together to try and solve a problem, go on adventures, have fun. I know some people play Dungeons and Dragons to try and figure out how to murder the other people in their sleep. And I suppose you could play Dresden Files that way, but it just really doesn't work as well. Those are for one-shots, I guess.
Oh, so there's no one's going to murder someone else in their sleep?
No, of course not.
Okay. I'm glad we got that established.
As far as mechanics go, the Fate system is basically broken down into three parts. Three different ways to enhance the storytelling that are more or less unique to Fate. And Fate is the system that Dresden Files is based on. Dungeons & Dragons is based off a D20 system because you roll a 20-sided dice. That's what the D stands for. For Fate, you roll four Fate dice. That's the first mechanic. Fate dice are very different. They're six-sided dice, but instead of being numbered 1 to 6, they have pluses, minuses, and blanks. So, much smaller number demograph to work with than, say, your 100-sided dice. When you roll a dice, you're only going to get 1 of 3 options. You're either going to get a plus, which adds a +1 to your total. You get a minus, which adds a -1 to your total, or you get a 0, which is very neutrally disappointing because it adds a 0 to your total.
Okay, so on each dice, there's two pluses, two minuses, and two blanks.
Right.
Boom.
So essentially, you're rolling a 3-sided dice, but because that doesn't look pretty, it's a 6-sided dice with 3 pairs.
Nice.
So the first thing you do, and probably what role players are the most familiar with, is you're going to roll dice and add them to your skills to get a total number. And you want to roll high, because the higher the number, the more likely you succeed in whatever you are attempting. So, for example, most of our group in the Dresden Files starts off with alertness. That's kind of your passive awareness, your notice. How hard is it for something to sneak up on you? And everybody is more or less average, with maybe one exception. That means they have 1 point in that skill. So when they roll 4 dice every time, they'll add whatever they roll to that 1, and they get their total. There's a whole ladder and words associated with Fate. I don't want to get into details too much. Suffice to say that the higher you roll, the happier you're probably going to be.
And so do I roll 4 dice every time?
Every time. It's not like a lot of other role-playing games where you have to calculate how many dice you roll for which occasion. Every time you're rolling Fate for anything, even Dresden Files, you're always rolling 4 dice. I know there are some people that like to mess with that and have a special ability. You can sometimes roll 6. We don't do that. It's supposed to be simple for a reason. Fate focuses more on the storytelling, so not so much on the math. 4 dice. So you're always going to get somewhere between a +4 and a -4 added to your skill.
And I think I looked at the calculations, and it's 1.5% to get a +4 or a -4. something. Yeah, it's really
there
hard.
There's some fun math involved in there if you're really into that sort of thing. On average, you're going to be rolling a zero. There's more combinations that add to zero than anything else. Just like if you're rolling 2 6-sided dice normally, on average you're going to roll a 7 more than anything else. And very rarely are you going to roll the extremes, 2 ones or 2 sixes. So it's very hard in Fate, I'm sorry, it's very rare in Fate that you're going to roll all pluses or all minuses. And technically it should be equally rare that you're rolling all zeros. But because you can roll 2 zeros, a plus and a minus, or 2 pluses and 2 minuses, there are just a lot of combinations. So on average, you're going to see people rolling anywhere from a -1 to a +1 if the dice are fair.
All right, so now that we got dice, what else is there?
A couple of other things. Probably the next and what gives Fate its name is going to be the Fate Points. Fate Points are little tokens of bonus goodies. You start off with a number of Fate Tokens equal to your refresh. And that is going to be your currency to spend on storytelling. So
what is refresh, or should we get into that later?
We'll get into that with a third one.
Okay.
So just, you know, put a pin in it, keep in the back of your mind. And so when we talk about refresh, oh, he mentioned that with Fate Points. Now we get to find out what that is.
Nice.
So, the more Fate Points you have, the more control over the story you have. Skill checks you roll to try and succeed in conflict. Fate Points, depending on how you use them, can really boost or even guarantee that you succeed. But obviously you have a limited number of Fate Points, so you have to be careful about what you want to definitely succeed at. There are technically 4 things you can do with Fate Points. The first one is you can spend a Fate Point to add a +1 to any roll, no questions asked. Now you will never, I say that with a face, you will never, ever hear anyone in my group spending a Fate Point for just a +1.
I don't like that rule. I don't like that. I never use it.
Yeah, it is unofficially kind of thrown out because it's just such a waste of a Fate Point. And if you're playing any kind of Dresden Fate game, you know, there's just too much potential to waste on a +1. What you will most often hear people in our group spending a Fate Point for is to get a +2 to their skill checks.
And you think that's the boring thing to do, right?
It is. But not as boring as the +1, because there is a catch. In order to add a +2, you have to tag an aspect. In other words, you have to basically add a little bit of story, a little bit of flavor. So you're not just spending a Fate Point and saying, well, I get a +2 because I want to win. You're saying, well, I'm actually doing better at this check because I'm really good at it.
And well, aspects are something you'll talk about later, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Much to talk about later. So a lot of times you will hear different players say, you know what? I am going to spend a Fate Point because I am a savant secretary, so obviously I have the mayor's ear. I've got a better chance at succeeding with this. Or I'll spend a Fate Point because, you know what? I bought all of these supplies. I'm really well set. I probably have a better chance at surviving being swallowed by a giant snake.
Yes.
And, you know, that's completely fair. This is what they wanted their character to be, so, you know, of course, they're going to be better at whatever their character is.
But if I was going to be eaten by a giant snake, I couldn't pay a Fate Point and tap my shy guitar guy, because that has no relevance to a giant snake eating me.
Correct. You know, it's kind of limited in that you can only make your character better at what they're actually good at. Or bad at what they're really bad at.
Yeah. But I could tap my don't make me defend myself, because that's more in line with fighting a giant snake.
All right. Now, that's how you spend fate points. You earn fate points by having bad things happen to you.
Before that, isn't there another awesome way to spend fate points that you complain that players don't do enough?
There's two others, actually. Two other ways, but you earn fate points, since we're talking about spending it for a +2. You earn fate points on those aspects. You know, you mentioned the shy guitarist for a reason. Well, I could decide that, you know what, you're a lot more vulnerable to bullying because you're a shy guitarist. So I'm going to give you a -2 to the skill check. And I will give a fate point if he accepts that. The third way you can spend fate points is by refusing fate points. So none of my group ever does this. They like to have bad things happen to them that they can blame on the GM. Plus then get more fate points to say, hey, I can spend this on a +2 later. However, there have been times, and there should be times, when a GM says, hey, I want to make you do this, and you're like, I don't really want my character to do that. Like if you're trying to banish a demon and he appeals to your naive ego, and the GM gives you a fate point to say, you know what, you're going to stop the ritual. Then you can say, no, I don't think I am, because I don't want to be possessed and kill all my friends. So you spend a fate point to refuse that fate point. So there's the third way you can spend fate points. The fourth, and probably the most wonderful, but also the most underused way you can spend a fate point, is you can spend a fate point to just make a declaration. In other words, you can say, this is true in the story. So you can spend a fate point to say, for example, you know, I actually have a sword on me. It would probably be helpful in this situation. And as long as we haven't established, no, that's not true in the story, then whatever goes, or whatever makes sense, goes. I've seen people spend fate points for holes to appear under zombies. I have seen people spend fate points to have a giant car drop out of the sky with the keys in the ignition. I've seen people spend fate points to suddenly gain new superpowers. And then we work out later, okay, can we keep that or not? There's a lot you can do with fate points, kind of spur of the moment, to say, hey, let's make this true. Now, the reason my group doesn't often do that is partially my fault, mostly their fault. It's partially my fault because I really love the storytelling more than anything else. So when someone else comes up with a good idea, a lot of times I'll let them get away with it for free, and we'll just make that part of the story. Mostly the group's fault because and when it comes down to a player's perception, the skill checks are the most familiar, and that +2 with a little bit of storytelling, it's a mix of both worlds. So you know you're probably going to succeed if you add a +2, and you don't have to automatically come up with a big story. You just have to come up with a little explanation. And so I think that's why it's the most common. And hopefully after a few sessions, we'll break some of you listeners out of that habit. The third mechanic in Fate Dresden is what's called Refresh. Refresh is basically how powerful your character is. Skills reflect that a little bit, but really, the more Refresh you have, the more powerful you are.
So it's like your level, pretty much, in other games.
Exactly. You can spend it for stunts or supernatural powers, and those are just special abilities. Like if you are able to affect people's moods with music, or if you are able to touch an object and get a psychic reading off of it, or if you're just really good at aiming a gun. Stunts kind of give you that permanent +2, or that permanent boost that a fate point would give. A lot of them will cost one refresh or more. So when you end up spending, you know, that refresh, you're going to start out with less fate points to do anything. But it does make sense if you see yourself, you know, playing the guitar a lot, to go ahead and take a stunt that'll give you a +2, because then you'll use it more than once, and it only costs you one fate point.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear, I believe, Rob particularly mention about becoming an NPC.
Yes, he did.
You have to have at least one refresh left over after you spend it on stunts and powers, because fate also kind of represents your free will. Your refresh does. It represents your ability to do things unexpected. And if you've completely given that up, you've got no free will. Thus, the GM controls you. Thus, you become an NPC. I think that covers everything. It just sounds
a
little
boring.
What else am I forgetting?
You may have forgotten my favorite aspect of the game.
Well, we mentioned those, so it's okay.
Oh, we didn't go into detail.
All right, let's go into detail. Another big thing that sets Fate apart from a lot of other role-playing games is the idea of aspects. And aspects is just a basic, short, what is it? A lot of times it'll be either an adjective and a noun, or it'll be a short quote, or it'll be just a little description.
Basically a way that a character describes himself.
Yeah, or others describe the character. Human beings are complex. So are vampires and werewolves, granted. So the player characters will have a lot of different aspects. You know, one might be a shy guitarist, but also doesn't like to be cornered. One might be, you know, a savant secretary, but also, you know, maybe suffering from a lovelorn sickness. You know, one might be a conspiracy theorist, you know, and a psychic, but also suffers from terrible dreams.
Nice. I think my favorite thing about aspects is the fact that they're both positive and negative.
Yeah.
The good ones are.
The good ones you can see as being helpful in some situations and a detriment in others, because that means you can spend fate points to get your +2s, but the GM, the game master, can give you fate points to use them against you for -2s and other such features. You know, for example, I ran a campaign where players' trouble, their primary bad aspect, was that they were terrified of heights. So we ran an airship campaign where they were constantly flying, and that caused them a lot of trouble. They got sick a lot. They got removed from conflicts a lot, but they had a lot of fate points so that when they touched the ground, they made a lot of things happen. Or sometimes they would refuse getting seasick by spending a fate point because, you know, it was urgent enough.
Nice.
So aspects, and you know, you can create aspects by spending fate points. That's part of that declaration. Or if you roll a really good skill check to just kind of shape the story, and aspects kind of reflect that. Consequences are aspects. If you do bad things to people, like break their arms or make them fall in love with you, now, these are aspects that, you know, kind of get a free +2 or a free use.
Yeah, so you as a character have your own aspects, and through combat or conflict, you can put aspects on other people, and if there are consequences, those aspects stay longer than just that scene.
Yep. Anytime I run a game and I'm teaching somebody new, they really just kind of stare blankly until you start playing.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to our short little podcast on what Fate is. And like Joshua said, if it seems a little confusing, usually if you just start playing, it'll start making sense. So if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us at burneverythinggaming@gmail.com. And hopefully we can get you back some answers and you'll enjoy playing.